If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
If you're a frequent reader of the Tribune, and God hopes you are, you have noticed the byline, Corey Franklin on the editorial pages, talking about and writing about everything from Madonna, American Airlines Flight 191, air conditioning, sports, the Star Wars Museum, Shakespeare. Corey, I'm a huge fan of your writing, as you know, and have been, welcome to the show, was overwhelmed by your latest book, Cook County ICU, 30 years of unforgettable patients and odd cases. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Rick.
You really are like the constant of the editorial page. I see your byline on that page, and I know it's going to be about something interesting and provocative. Corey, what is the seed of this book? You're a physician and a writer, and you make a great case at the beginning that hospitals and doctoring and the profession lends itself to literature. What's the seed of this book? Had you been dying to do this for some time?
Well, you know, what I wanted to do was tell stories, and that's the essence of the book. And there are, you know, it doesn't matter what hospital you're in. County was probably one of the best, but whatever hospital you're in, there are stories, and there are interactions between people, and there are obviously the patients and the staff and the tragedies and the happiness. And so what I wanted to do was tell stories, not over-sentimentalize, but I wanted to give healthcare workers just to share what I had with them, and then to let the general public in on some of the things that happen in the hospital and humanize the hospital a little bit for them.
Well, and I think County, as you well know, I think has always, I've spent a lot of time at County, and it needs humanizing because, you know, let's face it, in this neighborhood, everybody wants to go and can afford sometimes to go to Northwestern, and they don't really have a sense. And you certainly punctuated of the incredible history of what's now known as, and I find it almost shameful, but pretty obvious why it's named Stroger Hospital, because it's named for a politician now. But it's a remarkable history, is it not?
Yeah, you know, it's almost a century of hospital stories, of care, of inventions, of tragedies. And, you know, my father was there from the late 40s. So together with my father, probably have 50 years of experience, maybe half the experience of the county hospital. Then you put that together with all the people that I talked to and worked with, and you just have just such a wide array of interesting things that happen there and things that people want to tell you about and things that you want to tell to other people.
Well, one of the things I think that distinguishes your book, Dr. Franklin, Cook County ICU, 30 Years of Unforgettable Patients and Odd Cases, it's a very kind of provocative title, but it is not, you really do not on any level make it voyeuristic. I think you're really trying to get at this tricky and remarkable relationship that takes place between doctors and patients, aren't you?
Yeah, which is a very, very complicated thing.
Oh.
And everybody experiences it differently. And again, if you get too much into the blood and guts, you lose that. If you over-sentimentalize the patients, you lose that. So I wanted to try and present it as honestly as possible with emotion, but not with a lot of extraneous detail or extraneous emotionalism.
What brought you? I know your father was there in that, what it sounds like, the amazing golden age, the decade right after World War II. What brought you to County Hospital, Corey?
Well, I would say, you know, I was dedicated to learning the craft. And the thing about County, even when I started there in the early 70s, was that you could be dedicated to learning the craft. There weren't a lot of distractions if you wanted to. There were huge numbers of patients. There was a huge number of diseases. So you could learn the craft. And then about 10% of it was a political thing, because that was the place where you felt you were really helping people, where you could go home every day and feel proud of what you did, which you could do at any hospital. But it was a sort of a special thing at County because of the socioeconomic stuff. But I would say, in my case, it was 90%. I want to learn this craft and be as good as I can at it.
It is kind of at county, can be a bath by fire, can it not? I mean, you encounter at county, a doctor encounters at county, a slice of social strata that many doctors will never see.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's part of learning the craft. I mean, you have to be able to negotiate difficult situations. You have to be able to talk to, as you say, a wide strata of people. You have to learn how to take histories, find out what's wrong with people who speak the language differently than you or don't speak the language at all. And you have to understand a lot about society, both high and low, when you're at the county hospital. And again, it's part of learning your craft. It's not stuff that's in the medical textbook.
No.
It's stuff you have to pick up.
When it also, you're learning, too, of Dr. Corey Franklin, you were learning, too, about humanity on a level and an intensity that has to not just enrich but enlighten, especially people in the medical field. Don't you agree?
I couldn't say it better than that, Ricky.
Well, you have said it better in your book. Believe me, Corey, you have.
Well, that's you've captured it exactly. I mean, that's exactly what I was trying to aim for.
This book, I imagine, Corey Franklin, we've got to take a break in a couple minutes, but I'm keeping you the whole half hour. This book, I imagine, could have been twice as long. You must have just such a rich load of experiences. Did you select various stories? One, Chapter 10, The Woman with a Sore Thumb, Why Listening is an Art, for instance. Did you toss stuff out? The narrative is so compelling. There's a lot of, it'll make some people squeamish, but it'll also make some people chuckle.
Well, I tossed out a lot of stuff, Rick.
Yeah.
Some of it couldn't remember that well, but most of the stuff I talked about, I didn't want to get into the blood and guts gore.
Yeah.
I turned down some of the blood and guts gore stuff, and I wanted to emphasize the stuff that really showed how patients react, how patients come in, and how you interact with patients, and how they're human beings. And you really, to do your job well, you have to understand that people are human beings in those situations. They're often stressed, and we're stressed. And I wanted to use that interplay a lot.
One of the things that also distinguishes your book, Cook County ICU, 30 Years of Unforgettable Patients and Odd Cases, is the unassailable and admirable dedication and devotion of these doctors under what I consider some of the most stressful. I know a lot of cops who burn out, and I suppose I've known a lot of doctors who burned out. But what is it, do you think, that keeps that dedication and devotion so strong?
Well, and not just doctors, but nurses also.
Yes, of course, excuse me.
Even the other people there. And I think it's two things. One is dedication to craft, and the other is dedication to people.
Yeah.
And if you have both, I mean, the people who have both are really going to do their jobs very well.
Do you think, Corey Franklin, before we take a break, do you think you are a better person for having worked at County Hospital all those years? I know that's a tough thing to answer, Corey, but be honest.
I think I am. I think that if I had worked somewhere else, I don't know that I'd be. I'm certainly a different person, and I like to think that I have a better view of not only medicine but of humanity, having worked there for a long time.
Well put, and it's a compelling reading. Cook County ICU, 30 Years of Unforgettable Patients and Odd Cases. We'll talk about some of those patients, some of those odd cases, your one incredible flirtation. I had forgotten this with Hollywood, which I found one of the nicest. It's a chapter that had me smiling all the way through. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We are talking to Dr. Corey Franklin, who is one of the most prolific contributors to the editorial pages of Chicago Tribune on everything from very serious issues to Elvis and Madonna. Corey, there have been a number, not a great number, Michael Crichton is one I can think of doctor authors. Do you find yourself in that category? You certainly are prolific.
Well, I'm not going to...
I'm sure you'd love to be in that Michael Crichton rarefied bestsellerdom, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. You know, though, actually, on a serious note, Rick, if you look back historically, and I mentioned the book, in many cultures, some of the greatest authors...
No question.
...were physicians.
Yeah.
You know, Tolstoy and...
George Orwell, Thomas Hardy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, today some of our best authors in America who are physicians are South Asian and Indian physicians. So that's a long tradition. You know, I probably have a very, very small niche at the bottom there. But, you know, it lends itself to writing. And if you want to write and can write, you're certainly never short of topics.
Well, but also as a physician, especially in a place like county, you've got to be sort of hyper aware and hyper observant, much more observant than, let's say, an accountant would be. Do you know what I mean? And you're having adventures of a sense every day.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you walk around the hospital or when I was in the intensive care unit, the thing I tried to impress upon the residents and students was alert, alive. You know, you're always alert and you're picking up things that you know, keep people alive and keep you alive so that you should be hyper-vigilant to everything. And that includes the way people behave because on occasion it can really help you with your job.
You must. I am interviewing after you a lovely woman named Catherine Bensinger who she's the Parenting Fundamentals Program Director at Metropolitan Family Services. And in reading some of her theories about life and I hate the word dysfunction. I hate the word dysfunction, but you've got to have seen, and a little of it's in the book, that the family structure or lack of structure contributes to all manner of violent behavior, of screwed up behavior, of physical and emotional pain. You must have encountered that at County all the time.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is, by the way, I don't use the word dysfunction in the book at all.
Good. I don't like that word. It seems too vague, too big an umbrella.
It is. It is. What I saw there is both sides of it. I saw exactly what you described, but I also saw the other side of that, which is how important the strong family structure was to getting people through illnesses and getting people through tragedies. So it sort of works both ways. And again, you see the entire a spectrum of the family dynamic, how it hurts and helps individuals.
You have 25 chapters in this book. I don't want to call them essays. You'd like to call them essays, wouldn't you? They're not essays. They're stories. Each has a theme of sorts. What do you like to call these 25?
You know, I'll go with stories. I think you're right. I think stories is a better way to say it.
All right. To tell people that it's not all blood and guts, Chapter 19 is titled Tales from the Movies. This was your grand flirtation, sort of. They asked you to do it with Hollywood. What was that like?
Well, you know, a lot of things came together by chance, and I happened to be the technical advisor or one of the main technical advisors to Harrison Ford. My job was to teach him to be a doctor for the movie The Fugitive. And so literally what I would do every day is I would talk with him about, you know, what you would say in certain situations, what you would do in certain situations, why things were the way they were in the hospital, so that he could flesh out his character. And, you know, there's one scene in The Fugitive where he takes a little boy up to the operating room, and he would ask me, well, what would you say in the elevator to the boy? And I say, you want to keep him calm. You want to let him know his mother's coming. You want to take his mind off by talking about something like sports or baseball. He did it better than I could do it. I told him once, you know, you would have been a great doctor, better doctor than me.
Well, I also hear that he's attitude. I also, maybe the future was relatively early in his career, but I can hear he can be a kind of pain in the ass.
Well,
was he
you know,
with you or no?
You know, he wasn't with me, but here's the thing.
But when he was with everybody else who worked at the hospital, right? No, just joking.
When I was working with him, he was part of seven of the 25 biggest grossing movies of all time because of the Star Wars movies and American Graffiti and Indiana Jones. And so everybody sort of bent from the ankles to him. And, you know, I would watch him on a daily basis. And it's very, very hard from his standpoint to know how to react to people when everybody is doing that, you know?
Sure. Everybody is just fawning over him. Have you and Harrison Ford kept in touch, Corey, or no?
I have not kept in touch with him. He's out of my league now. However, I do occasionally keep in contact with Andy Davis, who was the director.
Wonderful guy, Chicago guy,
right.
Who directed the movie.
Right.
Andy's a great guy. The following chapter in the book, very timely at this time of year, chapter 20 is, stay away from the hospital on holidays if at all possible. That thought never occurred to me. Not that I'm frivolous and go in the hospital, think to go to the hospital every Christmas Eve or something. Why is that, Corey?
Well, it's my opinion that because, you know, at the hospital on holidays, you're often dealing with a skeleton crew.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially if you're post-operative or if you're, you know, if you're sort of sick, you don't want to be in situations where they're dealing with a skeleton crew and usually a junior crew, too. You know, now, if you're sick and it's an emergency, you don't have the luxury of determining that. But, you know, I tend to tell people I would avoid the hospital right before holidays simply because in the event that anything goes wrong or anything out of the ordinary happens on the holiday or right after the holiday, you may not be dealing with a complete crew and you may not be dealing with the most experienced people that you want evaluating your situation.
Well, truer words were never spoken because I once wound up in the hospital on a New Year's Eve having thought that I had had a heart attack. I was 26 years old. I knew it wasn't a heart attack. I had no idea what it was. I was in intensive cardiac care at Grant Hospital on New Year's Eve with, God love them, two nurses who had had a glass of champagne and wanted to give me a sponge bath. It turned out to be a cartilage thing, but it was a horrific experience. Corey, you're still going to write for the Tribune editorial pages, aren't you?
I'm certainly going to try.
have you ever toyed with the idea of fiction?
You know, I got to be honest with you, Rick. I'm not good with fiction. Fiction
okay.
is a completely different skill. I have the most respect in the world for great fiction writers. You know, Stephen King is one of my favorites of the contemporaries, but those people have a completely different skill that I've never been able to master.
Well, they don't have your skill, which is on colorful and moving and passionate display in Cook County ICU. 30 years of unforgettable patients and odd cases. It will, whether you're in the, this should be an essential reading for anybody in the healthcare industry, but also for anyone who has ever been a patient. It will give you incredible insight to the devotion that the people who work in hospitals genuinely feel. Corey, I can't wait to see you someday. Thank you for the book. Thank you for your bright writing for the Tribune editorial pages.
Well, thank you very much for all your kind words and for the interview. Rick, I really appreciate it. And I want you and all the listeners to have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too, pal.